tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13, in your Bible, is where we'll be reading tonight. We'll begin reading in verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Verse 44, the Bible says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Verse 45, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Father, we want to thank you tonight for the word of God. Father, for the truth, for the power. Father, we know that it's alive, and Father, it still convicts and compels sinners and saints to yourself. God, I pray that you would help us now. Father, you would honor the reading and bless the reading of your word. Pray you'd speak to our hearts. God, we need to see you tonight. Father, for you are high and exalted. And Lord, I pray that we could get a glimpse of glory for your honor and your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, we find that Jesus is speaking. He actually gives seven parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. We know a parable is nothing more than a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus, when he preached and spoke, he did not try to impress. He did not try to confuse or to wow those he was speaking to, but rather he tried to preach in a way and speak in a manner that they would understand and comprehend what he was saying. He did this through parables. We find when he spake about a farmer going forth and sowing seed, and that seed falling on good ground, some seed falling on hard ground or stony ground, they understood what it was like to sow seed. When he spoke about casting a net and catching fishes and drawing them into the boat, they understood what it meant to cast their nets into a sea. We see here he's speaking and comparing a heavenly truth with everyday task. Tonight we find this kingdom of heaven, it's given to us like a merchant man that's going and seeking after goodly pearls. I've heard some writers, pastor, and even preachers speak on this text about this pearl of great price, this one that the merchant man is seeking for and longing for. They say this pearl of great price is Israel. And I understand Israel is no doubt the apple of our Father's eye. Israel was his own people, his own elect, his very own. And God, I know that it's not finished with Israel, but as we read this parable of God's word, we have to understand that this is not Israel that God is speaking of. I heard some say, and even writers say about this text, that this pearl of great price is Jesus Christ. And I understand that Jesus Christ is precious. He's highly exalted. He's above all. He's over all. And he's to give all the praise and the glory. And all that is deserving to God's beloved, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But as we read this, we have to understand the pearl of great price is not any other than Jesus Christ. But as we read our text tonight, I'd like to submit to you that this pearl of great price is the church. It's you and I. It's those that have been washed in the blood of Christ, those that's been redeemed, that's been regenerated, that's been quickened, that's been made alive, that's been saved by the grace of God. This is the pearl of great price that Jesus Christ is speaking of. We see this merchant man, Pastor, I believe, is a type of Christ. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I see, number one, this merchant man is seeking the pearl. Verse 45, the Bible says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. This merchant man, he's seeking. He's on a mission. He's traveling. He would have traveled great distances. He would have went into the largest of cities, into the smallest of villages, searching high and low. There was no length. There was no path. There was no road that this merchant man would not travel down. He was seeking. He's meditating. He is musing. He is thinking. He's longing for this great treasure that he can acquire. The word in the Greek here has the idea to crave. It means to strive after. It's someone craving or having a long desire, intense desire for something, or rather someone. This merchant man, he's on a great journey. He's seeking a treasure. He's seeking pearls. And I'm glad tonight, Jesus Christ, he came seeking after you and I. And I'm thankful that he found us. He found us when we were in our lowest estate. He found us when we were in our sin. He found us in our shame and iniquity. That I was thinking this afternoon of that good shepherd that counts his sheep. He's counting 95, and he's counting 96 and 97, and there's number 98 and number 99. But wait, this shepherd is missing one. So the Bible says that he leaves the fold and he goes out seeking and searching until he findeth it. Jesus Christ, he left the portals of glory. He left the splendors of heaven, and he came seeking and searching after you and I. Jesus Christ, he's seeking. He's searching. He came to save. This merchant man we find, he's seeking. He's on a journey. He's traveling. He's searching. And I want to say tonight, there was a time in my life when I did not love God like I should, but all along this merchant man had a great love for me. There was a time in my life where God was not on my mind, but I'm thankful I was in his thoughts and I was on his mind. There was a time in my life when Jesus Christ was not in my heart, but there was this merchant man. He had me on his heart. He had me on his thoughts. He's meditating is the word. He's seeking and searching, longing and craving, musing over this lost goodly pearl. Not only is he seeking, I notice that he pays a sacrifice for the pearl. Verse 46, the Bible says, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. You see, there was no price too high for this merchant man. There was no sacrifice too great for this merchant man. There was no amount that was too large that he would not give for this goodly pearl. You see, this merchant man, he was willing to give everything he had, everything he owned, every part of his possession for this one pearl. You see, this pearl was going to cost all that he had, and he was willing to pay all that he had. What a sacrifice. A merchant man that was willing to pay, give everything that he owned, give everything that he possessed. I want to say tonight, what about a sacrifice? No greater sacrifice than a father giving his own son for a poor lost sinner. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He said he saw one that was lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I want to say tonight, Jesus Christ is, he was, and he will forever be that perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was forsaken by the Father so you and I could be a son of God. Jesus Christ, he became poor and lowly so you and I could become rich. We find Jesus Christ when he cried, I thirst on the cross. He did that so you and I could drink from the fountains of living water. When he died on that old rugged cross, he died so you and I could have everlasting, eternal life evermore. I'm glad he's willing to pay a sacrifice just to save one lost pearl. There's no sacrifice this merchant man would not give. This merchant man I find in our text, he's longing, he's seeking. He's searching. He's craving. He's musing. He's meditating about this great pearl. He finds this pearl and he sells all that he has. He gives everything that he owns and he pays a great sacrifice. But I see number three, not only did he seek for it and he sacrificed for it, but I see he secures the pearl. Verse 46, it said, "Who, when he found one pearl of great price, when he went and sold all he had and bought it." It says he bought it. This pearl was now secure. It's in the hands of a rightful owner. It's in the hands of one that would secure it, one that it was safe with, one that would be lost nevermore, and one that would not be forgotten. You see, it was bought with a price. It's the idea to redeem. He gave something, and now he owns this goodly pearl. This merchant man would have polished it. This merchant man would have protected it. This merchant man would have secured it. It was his prized possession. It was a jewel of great price. And let me say this morning, if we're saved, if we've been born again, we're in some good hands. We're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. We're not only secure in Jesus Christ, but the Bible says, "I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall they pluck me out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." We're not only in Jesus Christ tonight, but we're in the God the Father. We're in some pretty good hands. Safe and secured, sealed in Jesus Christ. This merchant man, he's searching. He's seeking. He's longing. He's searching for a great treasure. He sacrifices a great cost. And we see he secures this pearl of great price. Your Bible, we find Jesus is likened to many things. We find in the book of John, he's compared to bread, the bread of life, the one that comes and the one that gives that you and I shall never hunger. We find in the Gospel of John, he's likened to a door. We know there's not many ways to heaven. There's not many ways to God the Father, but rather one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the door to heaven, and that door is Jesus Christ. He's likened to light. The Bible says that I am the light of the world, and those that would follow after him and long after him and follow in his footsteps, that they'd have the light of life. We see he's likened to a true vine. And you and I, because we're branches of this true vine, we should bring forth much fruit. We see he's likened to a shepherd that would give his life for the sheep, a shepherd that would, the good shepherd that would give his life for those in the fold. But tonight we see this, that Jesus Christ, I believe, is likened to a merchant man that's seeking. He's longing for this goodly pearl. But why does he compare the church? Why would he compare a saved person, those that are born again, those that have been redeemed, to a pearl? Why not a diamond? Why not a ruby or an emerald or a piece of gold or silver? Why would he say or consider us a bunch of pearls tonight? I know this is not new to you, and I know I'm not saying anything that's new brings out some great truth to you tonight. But I think there's three things, the reason he likens us to a pearl tonight. I want to say, number one, this pearl has a beginning. This pearl has a birth. You see, this pearl, it did not always start out being a pearl. It did not start out by something valuable or something of great treasure or something to be sought after. I want to say tonight, did you know a pearl is the only gem that's taken for something that's alive? Let me say that again. The pearl is the only gem, the only great treasure that this world knows that's taken from a living organism. Gold, emeralds, diamonds, rubies, sapphires, they're all minerals. They're received. They're taking from the earth. But the pearl is taking from something that is alive. we find this pearl is taking from something that's formed it. This pearl is shaped. This pearl is produced from something that is live, and every pearl has a beginning. It begins as an irritant. It begins as a grain of sand, a particle, or a speck of, let me say this, speck of dirt. A grain of sand causes a living organism great pain. It causes the oyster, the sand, or this particle, or this piece of dirt that pierces the oyster's side, causes the oyster great pain and great agony and great discomfort. But the oyster does not expel, it does not extract this particle, but rather it accepts this foreign object, this piece of sand, this particle, this dirt is no longer an alienated from the oyster, but it's accepted by the oyster. There was a time in my life, and there was a time in your life, when your actions and when your attitudes and when your appetite had nothing to do with God. You was full of self, I was full of sin, and full of nothing to do with God, but this living organism, Jesus Christ, the righteous, accepted us. He took us on to himself. He received us. He welcomed us. He loved us. He accepted us. And even though we've caused him great pain, and even though we failed him, and even though we fall short of his standards, we stand here today as a pearl of great price. Did I tell you that every pearl starts the same place? It starts way down at the bottom. Way down at the bottom. Before a pearl is showcased in a jeweler's display, before it's wore in the earrings or necklaces, before it's shown to the world, a pearl begins at the bottom of the sea. I don't know about you tonight, but I was pretty low when Jesus Christ found me. Brother Terry, I believe, sings it. When my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. Lost and undone without God or his son, when he reached way down for me. Beginning of the pearl. A pearl had a birth. I see number two, the beauty of the pearl. This oyster, it receives and it accepts and it adopts and it takes part of this grain of sand. And because the quality of the sand and the harshness and the roughness and the particle of sand, it causes this oyster great pain and discomfort. So instead of expelling it, instead of extracting it, the oyster accepts it and it begins to do something beautiful. It produces a thick liquid. A liquid that's produced from the oyster that's called nacre. This nacre is you've seen it before. When you open an oyster, it's that thick, translucent, shiny, shimmering liquid. Instead of rejecting this particle, instead of taking that object that once was rough, once that was unshapen and once that was very harsh, it takes the particle and it begins to produce this nacre, and after layer, after layer, after layer, a covering begins, and something that was once low and useless becomes something that's very valuable. You see, the suffering of this oyster causes the pearl to shine. Cover after cover after cover, this dirt is covered and it's layered with this beautiful nacre, and this covering process took place. I just want to tell Fletcher First Baptist Church tonight, I think I'm looking at a bunch of pearls that you once were nothing to no one, once lost and undone, but after a covering process, when you came to Jesus and he forgave you of your sins and he forgave you of your iniquities, he began to produce something, a covering, a sanctification that's produced beautiful pearls in the sight of God. Useless and rough and no good, But you came to Christ and a covering took place. A speck of dirt is all I am. Nothing worthy of the Lamb, but in mercy and in grace, my precious Savior took my place. What is man that God would love his virtue so much higher above? Human mind cannot comprehend Creator as creation's friend. Because he's a friend, because he's a Savior, you and I tonight can stand here a pearl of great price. The beginning of this pearl, I see the beauty of this pearl. I see, number three, the blessings of this pearl. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. This merchant man seeking a pearl. He pays a great sacrifice for the pearl. He secures the pearl. We see this pearl, it had a beginning. This pearl has become beautiful, but I see the blessings of this pearl in Revelation chapter 21. You say, preacher, the pearl has blessings? You mean to tell me this pearl has now found favor? This pearl will receive a blessing. It will receive a gift that is gifted to this pearl. Notice in Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 2. John's on the Isle of Patmos. Verse 2, he says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." We find John sees new heaven. And this new heaven's been prepared and it's been manufactured and baked and shaped, and as the Bible says, a bride adorned for a husband. Verse 12, the Bible says, "And had a great wall, a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Verse 13, "And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." John sees heaven prepared for you and I. And as he looks at heaven, he sees a city that's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. And on this city, he sees 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the west, and 3 gates in the south, and 3 gates on the north. And he goes on to say that these 3 gates in verse 21 are gates of pearl. You say, preacher, why does it have these 12 gates? I think John's telling us it doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter our creed, our nationality. It doesn't matter how far we sink down in sin. If you want to come to Christ, if you want to enter heaven, there's a way. It's acceptable. You can come to Christ. And he says in verse number 21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." The blessing of this pearl. We see these gates, and these gates one day will enter through these gates into new heaven. And I believe as we enter into these gates, Pastor, we'll be reminded about the pearl. These gates that we enter in are made of pearl. And maybe it's just maybe as we enter in, we'll be reminded of one that had to suffer, one that had to sacrifice, one that had to secure, one that this pearl caused great pain and great agony. But now, because of the suffering and the sacrifice of one, we can live eternally with Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus had to suffer. He had to endure pain. He had to endure great agony to produce some pearls of great price. I'm glad he came seeking for me. I'm glad he came searching for me. I'm glad he paid a wonderful, loving, costly sacrifice for me. I'm glad he secured me. And I may not look much to you tonight, but in the eyes of God my Father, Jesus Christ my Savior, I'm a pearl of great price. Father, we want to thank you tonight for considering us a pearl of great price. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for the suffering and the sacrifice that it took. We want to thank you, Father, for not excluding us or extracting us or casting us away, but accepting us, adorning us, adopting us as one of your own. And God, I know we fail you as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. But Lord, I pray you would still cover and produce that thing that's so beautiful in your sight. Sanctify us and set us apart for your honor and glory. Use us, Father, to be witness for a lost and dying world. And God, let us never forget what it cost to be a pearl of great price, the suffering you endured, the shame and the agony. But Father, I'm glad I'm a child of God. I bless your name, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you tonight, Father. We can call ourselves a pearl of great price. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Misty, if